And now, a Rob Brown Lowdown, only on the Fan Upstate.
What up, Zoe? You got your wish. Tiger was not good or anywhere close to it. It was a real bad end.
Plus 16 or something like that?
Yeah, his worst score ever as a professional.
He said it was a good week, though. So, I mean, you know, I guess we know what his standard is.
He had the equivalent.
Was the cut extended just so he could make it?
No, it was not. As I predicted.
So he got that bad after the cut.
Yeah, he looked real stiff on Saturday. And considering he gave up the boom boom for 2 weeks, I'm not talking about anything other than his ankle. Real not good. Had a real good Thursday and Friday. Came in at plus one, well below the cut line, which was at like plus six, well below it. And then on Saturday, there was a moment that when I was growing up, I connected with Tiger because I was like, yeah, man, like I'm young and I'm cool and I'm hip and I'm playing golf. And then so there was a spot on Saturday morning where he went to pick up a ball off the green and he did this number and he had to like push himself up off with his thighs. You know that move. We've all done that move.
So any chance he went home and was pretty excited, you know, Friday night and went against his rule. And because of that, everything fell apart.
Dude, I was having this conversation with a lady on yesterday. We were watching yesterday. Tiger turns in his, you know, plus eight or whatever it was yesterday. It's not great. And she said, I thought you said Tiger was going to win. And I was like, yeah, as a joke. I was like, he said he gave up sex for 2 weeks. Like, I was making a joke that if he channeled all that energy, I didn't think he'd win. I didn't think he'd shoot his worst score ever as a professional, but I didn't think he was going to win. And she said, oh, he must have went to Perkins Friday. I was like, that's why I keep you around. That's a good joke. That's a real good joke. Maybe Tiger broke his streak of not, you know, there's about 1,000 golf euphemisms that I could use right here, Lonzo, but this is a classy family show. So I'm not going to say.
You're not going to be getting the whole guy.
I was about to be getting the whole guy. Yeah, all right. So I telegraphed that punch. Good, 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 good. So most of you dirty-minded degenerates out there knew exactly where I was going with that. Excellent.
So are you embarrassed to the point where you want him to stay home yet?
No.
Like what? It's like watching Michael Jordan play with Washington, isn't it?
It was not great. It was not great. In fact, yesterday, who was I talking to yesterday? One of my golf buddies yesterday in one of my group chats was like, is this equivalent to watching Mike play for the Wizards? And I was like, yeah, kind of.
See? So yeah, I guess we all think alike. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. But
I mean, it's an apt comparison because on one hand, and again, I was still in my ute when Mike was a whiz. I mean, I wasn't old. I was still in my ute. And I think it was kind of one of those spots where you're like, on one hand, this isn't the legend I want to see, but also I still want to see it. You know what it was? You know how, and I say this with all love and respect because I'm at every show, yeah? But you know how we get these big national tours but of like old bands that come here to Greenville? We get like ZZ Top and Heart and like bands that aren't in their prime anymore, but they're still icons, right? Like, it's ZZ Top. I'm not missing 66% of ZZ Top. I'm going to see them. It's kind of the same thing. And I tell the lady friend this all the time because she's like, I don't really want to go see whoever. Like, that's not the band. You know, that's not who I remember. And I'm like, yeah, it's not so much about going and expecting to see the iconic shows of the 70s and 80s. And if you're me, the 50s and 60s, it's more about just seeing them, just the experience of being in the room and watching, you know, whoever play guitar or sing or whatever. Yes, I know Bon Jovi isn't like, you know, Bad Medicine Bon Jovi anymore, but I still get to say I saw Bon Jovi. That's kind of where I am again, like with Tiger. I know he's not going to compete. He's not going to compete. He ain't going to compete. I know he's not going to compete for trophies anymore.
I don't know. You were pretty adamant about
that he would make the cut, which I nailed, by the way.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I still think they moved the cut for him, but
they did not. The cut line's the cut line. Listen, if there is one tournament, if there is one event that does not give a good gosh darn about you or your legacy or anybody else, it's the Masters. Like, iconic guys get sent home from the Masters all the time. Tiger made the cut bona fide certified because the cut line is mathematical. It's not like, we think we'll put it here. It's, we got to get 45 guys into the weekend. So 45 plus the ties, that's everybody above that line goes in. And he was well above that line, but then he just turned around and his body broke down over the weekend. Like, he can't do it anymore. So,
you know, it was rough for for TV yesterday because they wanted to show Tiger, and Tiger was already done by the time they started the broadcast.
Yeah, because he had that like 8:30 tee
yeah,
time.
And it's like they would go back and show him some because they felt like they needed to, but even they knew that they could do what they wanted to do and show all Tiger. I got to say, I came in out of the yard and turned it on to see what was going on, and there was like a four-way tie with and everybody was six under, and it's like, okay, this might
be... It got good.
This might... No, it was the opposite because I thought it was going to be good, and then it went the other way. Just everyone went, oh yeah, we're in this, we're in this. No, we're not. I mean, and so then it became boring after that. After the other four guys went, never mind. I don't really want to compete. I thought Fleetwood had a chance to come back and maybe take the... But he was, your winner was unflawed, all that stuff. Just went in and just got better.
Did his thing.
Yeah. That's boring. It's very boring.
You don't like dominant performances?
No. No, that's fine. But it's dominant performances can be boring, especially in a sport like this where you want a little competition, a little intrigue. I mean, a playoff at the end of the Masters? How exciting would that be? I'm guessing it's happened before. It seems like it has.
Do you get bored by like no hitters in baseball? Like if a guy takes a perfect game into the ninth, does that excite you? Or are you like, nobody's gotten on base? This is boring.
That's a team sport. And the other thing is so many things can factor in to him not being able to complete the no-hitter. In this case, it's just one guy and the course, which is what golf really is, and that one guy stayed steady and the other guys did not. I mean, all those guys, like I said, when I started tuning in and it was a four-way tie and I'm like, okay, this would keep me a while. And within, 10, 15 minutes, it was no longer the case.
I'm going to the point where
I got to believe that the guys in the truck and everywhere are going, okay, how do we make this more exciting? And they can't.
I am going to go with, it's not necessarily like I want to tiptoe a line, but I want to be careful about how I say it. If you didn't enjoy Scottie Scheffler and the dominance that he put on television yesterday, then you don't enjoy well-played golf. You enjoy competition. And that's okay. It's just a philosophy.
As far as that goes, if you are not someone who watches golf, which I am not, I will tune in for stuff like this because it's a big deal. I want to be hooked, and that sort of thing is not going to hook. If like I said, I was intrigued. I was just going to turn it on for a second and then go back outside because I had other stuff to do. And then I saw the tie. I'm like, okay, this is what they want. Oh man, this is exciting. Someone else like me is tuning in and going, okay, this is going to be a competition. And then it wasn't. I'm talking about from a production standpoint, from a sports standpoint, where you want to bring in people who are not fans. If you can get them hooked by getting to see a competition, and then there wasn't one.
This is a very interesting spot, and I like this. It's an interesting conversation to me because it is an illustration of the challenge that golf, I think, has that might be unique to it, in that if you're a golf guy, yesterday was spectacular. You got to see a guy at his peak, in his prime, out there taming Augusta, which it's designed not to be tamed, out there playing some of the best golf we have seen played at the Masters since Tiger in his prime. Legitimately, my guy was out there playing incredible golf. And if you like golf, you liked what we watched yesterday, even though it wasn't a competition. You're not wrong, but that had more to do with how dominant Scottie Scheffler was than anybody else playing bad. Colin Morikawa didn't have the best round of his life, but for a guy that had routinely given strokes away every single Sunday, he played pretty well. Ludvig Åberg is a first-year guy, a debutant.
The story of the whole thing was Ludvig.
He was a story of the whole thing. The story, and this is, again, this is a split philosophy.
They had to make the story about Vern, which is a big deal. It's his last thing.
40 years on that box.
But the fact that became more of a story and not the golf.
No, I don't think it was. I think it was that whole could have come down to Ludvig Åberg and Scottie Scheffler and Colin Morikawa and Bryson DeChambeau. It could have come down to a 10-way tie on 16, and Vern Lundquist is still a story. He's Uncle Vern.
I was going to say, if it came down to what you just said, I would have been hooked the entire time.
Sure, but again, I think to me, that you know what this is? It is the exact same conversation as the conversation that I have with soccer's bad because game ends 1-0 guy. Soccer's bad because it's only 1-0.
No, soccer's bad because it ends 1-1 or 0-0.
Right, and I've made the argument before.
And soccer people go, oh, that was the most amazing game in the world, and you're like, okay, it was a tie. How's that exciting?
Because, and this is, again, this is the mindset. The mindset for so many people is result, not process, right? It's result, not process. It's looking at a scoreline and seeing Scottie Scheffler winning the most difficult golf tournament on planet Earth by 5 strokes and not going, how did he win by 5 strokes? Because if Scottie Scheffler is from 110 out, spiking a ball on the green at 6 inches and rolling it back to 2, that's an incredible golf shot. Whether there's a 10-person lead at the top of the leaderboard or if Scottie Scheffler has a dozen strokes of lead, that's an incredible golf shot, whether it's a competitive tournament or not. I am watching the shot, not the numbers. In soccer, just like in any other sport, yeah, the scoreline might be 1-0. How did that 1 get on the board? How did the 0 stay on the board? How did 1 defense tactically stop another offense? If you are only looking for the result, then 90% of every sport is boring to you. And I think that's what we had a case of yesterday. You had a guy that went out there and absolutely dominated this event. But if you were looking and going, this is boring, it's because, and I'm not like, this is going to come across as nose in the air elitist. It's not meant to be. It's going to sound that way. You don't know golf. And that's okay. Golf's not a sport for everybody. I get it. You will notice I push soccer on the show. I push hockey on the show. I don't push golf on the show. I go, hey, I'm going to talk about golf now. And if you like, stick around. If you don't, I'll see you in 15 minutes. I don't push golf because golf is very much a niche sport. And I've never made an argument to the contrary. But if you tuned in yesterday and you went, oh, there's one guy all by himself, ergo, this is boring. You don't know golf. You just like competition. And that's okay. Most of us are here because we like competition. Competition is one of the things that makes sports great. But what Scottie Scheffler did yesterday, specifically on the back nine, when he dog walked the field, to me, it was about the shot by shot performance. Because at any given point, he could have double bogeyed 11. Now all of a sudden he's right back there in the mix. And the momentum's gone. To me, when I'm watching this guy from 112 out, spike a ball 7 inches from the hole with all the pressure in the world, because those other guys are still playing good golf. That's when you go, this is a hell of a golfer playing a hell of a golf round. Like, golf is an individual sport for sure. And that's why I think you have to watch the individuals. You can't watch and go, oh, I have to have a playoff where it's boring. No. I'm going to watch one guy versus the course. But also, that's why it's in each sport. I will beg as I have. I will do my darndest to get Lonzo to a Triumph game. I will get Lonzo to a Swamp Rabbits game. I will get Lonzo to whatever other sports are going on. Zoe, how many times have I asked you to come with me to the BMW Pro-Am or any of the local golf events?
I've been to the Pro-Am, by the way.
You have. You've covered it.
Yeah. So,
did you love it?
As far
it, honestly,
I mean, you can't count that because it's full of celebrities. So if it was just a straight up golf tournament, then I think we could have the argument. But there's celebrities all over the place. Who's not going to like that?
That's a fine answer. But I would also point out, if you love golf, you love that event.
Okay.
Right.
All right. And as far as Swamp Rabbits goes, I've been to hockey. I just haven't been to Swamp Rabbits because during the week I'm not doing anything, and on Saturday I'm busy.
Half the playoff games are on weeknights, and I'm like, oh God.
Yeah. I have reached.
I'll be there.
I've reached an age where I know that I cannot operate with less amount of sleep. So
they texture said, "Good morning, Coach Rob and Zoe. I would rather slide down a board with razor blades raised up half an inch and fall into a vat of buzzard puke than watch golf." That is a dramatic way to say I don't like golf. Very dramatic.
Would that be considered a garbage take? Because according to Nolan, that's all I have, and that was a lot worse than what I said.
Oh, man. Well, I have bad news for you because we are going to talk a little bit more golf. Here's the good news for those of you that would rather, quote, slide down a board of razor blades raised up half an inch and fall into a vat of buzzard puke than watch golf. You're going to catch golf at the max, like 2 segments a month, all right? Except the Masters. The Masters is the Super Bowl of this sport. It's the Daytona 500. It's the World Series. If golf dudes got a chance to watch either the Masters or all 3 other majors, but they had to pick one, 95% of them are picking the Masters. And I don't see how you wouldn't. It's an incredible event. It's an incredible venue. And you get performances like Scottie Scheffler's yesterday. Again, if you don't like or get golf, then it is going to be tough for me to explain to you what this event is or what it means. And that's okay. It's in each sport. It's not for you. I get it.
Yeah, but Scheffler, so quietly on top, number 1 in the world, right? And he's kind of boring. So is this who the PGA wants to be their guy? I mean, you can't just say, we're just not going to show this guy. He's really good. So you have to show him. But is this, if you want some pomp, you want some flair, you want some controversy, he doesn't seem to be that guy.
Is it great one, good or bad? And I'm asking this as a genuine question. This isn't like a paint into a corner. I'm asking out of sincere curiosity. Is it good or bad for a sport or sports? We kind of had this conversation last week with Caitlin Clark. People tuned in last to the women's basketball tournament, but we know it was for Caitlin Clark. That's not speculation. It's a fact. Is it good or bad for sports that we only seem to be able to drive numbers based on the personality of an athlete and not the athletic accomplishment? Because if it was athletic accomplishment, the nation, not just this area, but the nation would have been tuning into South Carolina games all year, but they weren't. They were tuning into Caitlin Clark, despite the fact that she had some losses. She did not play on anywhere near the best team. Is it good or bad for sport that we've kind of reached a point where personality matters more than success?
That is, I don't think sports are a reflection of society in general.
Sure.
And the internet has a lot to do with the reason why people think that way. The fact that there are people who are famous for being famous. That's just how it is now. I don't know that it ever goes back to the athlete being celebrated because they're a really good athlete. I mean, there are some cases where you don't have a choice. You mentioned Caitlin Clark, even though I do believe she was pushed a great deal. She deserved whatever accolade she got because of what she was able to accomplish in her career. She didn't win the big one, but still.
I was thinking about this.
This is another case where Tiger may have saved golf, but also helped ruin it to a degree. Because now you're looking for anytime you're looking for the next, then the one that was the one was so spectacular that you believe you've got to find the next.
I don't disagree. We talked a little bit about this last week, and I think you're spot on. I hated this take from you Friday, and by today I've come full circle and I'm like, okay, you might actually kind of have a point here. You might actually be right on this. In that, yesterday we had a couple of people come to the house to watch the Sunday with us, the lady friend and I, big Masters peoples. So we had a couple of people over. By the way, Zoe, there's some pimento cheese and egg salad sandwiches in the fridge if you'd like one.
Egg salad, yeah.
Big fan.
Pimento.
Oh.
Pimento.
By the way, if any of our coworkers are listening right now, there's like an entire pail, serving platter of sandwiches down in the break room.
I was going to say, did you leave them out, though?
No, they're in the fridge.
I was going to say, egg salad left out.
Yeah,
probably
no,
a bad idea.
So we had a couple of people come over. We made, as we always do, way too many pimento cheese and egg sandwiches. I made some azalea, the official cocktail of the Masters, made a big jug of it, had a great time. And it was like three other couples. And as we were sitting there yesterday watching the final round of the Masters, I watched as the conversations kind of devolved away from golf. It kind of devolved away a little bit. It went from the initial at 2 o'clock when the coverage came on, it went from all of us really talking about golf and Tiger and Scottie Scheffler and all these different players and what they were doing on the course and yada, yada, yada. And then with 7-8 holes left to be played, Scottie's on the back nine now. He's closing in. At this point, it's in the books. And I'm standing in the kitchen having an azalea, talking to a couple of the fellas. I look over. The ladies are all in the living room. They're all on the floor. One of the ladies that was joining us had a baby. And so the baby's there. See, because I let babies come over, Lonzo, because I'm not a hater. And
you're not in the room with the baby.
I was not in the room with the baby.
You let the baby come over.
And so they're all on the floor playing with the baby, and they're talking about baby stuff and having babies and baby general conversation. The fellas are, at one point, we're outside on the back porch smoking cigars. We're not even by a TV. And I'm like, oh, this is real bad for me. Like, I'm watching it through the back door, but nobody else is paying attention. And I thought, this is exactly what we were talking about on Friday. This is Sunday at the Masters. It is the most compelling. Everybody there, every dude there wearing Masters polos. We're all in green. Everybody's decked out. We decorated the house in green and yellow. When everybody showed up, super excited. And then as Scottie Scheffler is heat seeking in on green jacket number 2 in 3 years, nobody's paying attention to. And I thought back to what you said on Friday, which is, what are they supposed to pay attention to? attention to. Because to me, as a golf fan, I'm like, Scottie Scheffler's playing some of the best golf we've seen at Augusta since Tiger in the early 20-teens. This guy is lighting this course on fire with great golf right now. We should be paying attention to that. But I realize you're correct. There's not a ton of personality out of Scottie Scheffler, at least not until he won the thing. Whereas Tiger would chip it on 16 and he's got that big vivacious arm pump and all that. There's not really any of that out of Scottie Scheffler. Really, the most emotional we saw anybody was when Ludvig Åberg knocked in like a 17-foot putt for birdie to get him one closer, and he was just smiling. Like, that was the most emotional thing that we got out of that last day. And I thought to myself, this to me...
Yeah, Ludvig, when he smiles, he looks like German club guy. That's why he can't help it. You picture him in the turtleneck in there, just anyway.
He, like, there wasn't anything that, unless you are a fan of golfers hitting golf shots, which again, I am. And maybe it's because I'm a golfer or a bad one, but a golfer. I understand the difficulty of some of these shots that these guys are hitting. Unless you are a golfer and a golf fan, it doesn't click to you, right? It's the same argument that I make with NASCAR. If you're watching NASCAR and you think NASCAR is car go fast, car turn left, and that's what you think the sport is, yeah, I can see why that's boring to you. It's 3.5 hours of cars going fast and turning left, but the reality is it is so much more intricate than that. This is why I tell people, do not judge until you come with me to a race, or go sit in a bar and watch a race with me and let somebody who knows racing explain every little intricacy that's going on. A couple of weeks ago, the folks over at Spire gave me the opportunity of a lifetime. We went to a NASCAR garage. We got to watch them quite literally put the finishing touches on the cars that were racing this weekend. The car that Corey LaJoy was driving, I got to see that car up close. And there was a girl in the group with us who not really a NASCAR fan. And as the garage staff was explaining stuff and showing us stuff about the car and the different tires they use and the testing process and the this and the that, she looked over and she's like, I could get into this. And I'm like, yeah, because it's not go fast, turn left. There's so much more to it. Golf's kind of the same thing. When you get beyond guy hit ball with stick, make ball go in hole, it gets so much better. When you understand the different types of shots and the difficulty it is to hit those shots and what it means when you're hitting up a hill versus down a hill and all the different things you got to do with the golf club and the swing positioning and your leverage and all that. But how do you get someone into that? How do you get someone? Tiger Woods did it by being the most charismatic, dominant golfer of all time. He did it by being so compelling as a person that you tuned in to watch how compelling Tiger was, and then you learned golf. I know guys that golf now, and the only reason they golf now is because Tiger put out a video game a decade and a half ago. Tiger put out a video game, and they started playing this video game, and the game taught them the intricacies of golf, and they went, oh man, there's a lot going on. I kind of want to try this out. The game taught them golf, and once the game taught them golf, then they got invested. Now they just watch golf with or without Tiger Woods. Sport needs those personalities, but I kind of think it's bad in certain situations, because like I said, yesterday I look over with the most dominant golfer since mid 2010-ish, Tiger Woods, who is playing a round that should go down in history. It was one of the best Sunday rounds we've ever seen, closing in on 18, closing in on a green jacket. And by the way, any given moment, he could go out there and have a Greg Norman meltdown. If he goes out and he doubles or triple bogeys a hole on 15, while Morikawa and DeChambeau and these guys are still on the course, they might get that eye of the tiger and go, okay, I'm going to go out there and go for the stick. And if I can double birdie here, if I can eagle here, I'm right back in this thing. So he's still got to finish. Even if he's so far ahead, it feels like it's destiny. It's untouchable. And I'm going, I got three or four ladies over there crawling around on the floor with a baby. They couldn't give less of a bleep about it. The fellas are outside smoking cigars talking about, we were talking about our next Costco trip. That's what the boys are talking about, all right? Because we're old now. We're all boomers now. We're talking about Costco and, one of the guys is super pumped because he just pulled the grass to re-sod his lawn. He's going to Bermuda grass. He's all pumped. He's planning the Bermuda grass welcoming party, right? That's what we're talking about while the damn Masters is on, as I'm like watching through the window because I'm trying to be a good host. I don't want to be like, hey, bleep you guys, I'm going inside. I'm like watching through the window.
No offense, but these are the kind of conversations I expect.
From golf fans?
Yes.
That's fair. That's fair. I was going to be real mad, and then I'm like, no, that actually is a good point. Look, I think that, to me, it's a shame that we kind of have to have those compelling people to get people interested to what are otherwise incredible events. Saturday, we're on Bet for the Cycle. We're talking about the NBA playoffs. There's a path to the NBA playoffs that, at least on Saturday, there was a path to the NBA playoffs that could have had both LeBron James and Steph Curry not in the playoffs. Cody Decker was like, that's real bad for the NBA. And I'm like, why? You got SJA in, you got Nikola Jokic in, the Suns might get in, they got D-Book and CP3. You've got all these great players. And he goes, because people tune in, whether it's to love them or hate them, people tune in bigger numbers to watch Steph and LeBron. And he's exactly right. It's a nightmare scenario because we, as sports fans, as American sports fans, we are driven as much by personality. Actually, scratch that. I'll go on the limb. We are driven more by personality than good sports. Genuinely. We still want the best sports, which is why we're 4 weeks into the UFL season, Lonzo? I ain't watched a game. Because it's up against the Masters, and it's up against WrestleMania, and it's up against baseball, and it's up against all these other top-notch things. I said that I am going to support this league this year. I've not watched a game.
Yeah, I'm not watching because of the final boss.
Dwayne.
Cost yourself a fan, Dwayne.
Dwayne, I haven't watched a game because it lacks both the best sport and the personality. And I went into this thing saying, you know, I understand they want to be a genuine, bona fide, certified football league that says we are a legitimate football league, but you've still got to have some personality. And to me, they haven't done anything that goes, I have to watch. The XFL edition, I tuned in a little bit. Why? The St. Louis Battlehawks and the Beer Snakes and the crowd. They made it fun. And also, there's a football game going on. Sports needs compelling personalities. And to finish up where I started with this thought, Lonzo said on Friday, he said, Tiger is the beneficiary and also the blame for the PGA Tour. He said, on one hand, he brought in this enormous influx of new fans. He did. But at the same time, he set that bar in terms of both dominance and personality, charisma, so high, who the hell else is going to reach that? Because there's not anybody right now. They've tried. They've tried with Rory McIlroy. They tried with Ricky Fowler. They tried with Bryson DeChambeau. They tried with all these different golfers to go, hey, this guy's got charisma, character, and personality, and he's a pretty good golfer. But until you find a guy who has that charisma and character and personality, and he's also winning the Masters more than he's, or at least in contention for the Masters more than he's not, what do you want? There was a point at the end. I'll say this, and then we'll take a break because I know we're late. There was a point at the end, right, where Scottie Scheffler's on 15-16, and he's just knocked down another birdie, gets him to 10 or 11 under, and they flip over, and he's like writing his score down, Zoe, on his little score sheet, and then he puts it in his back pocket, and he starts walking to the next hole, and there's just a blank face, and I'm going to throw her under the bus. She'll get mad later. The fiance looks at me, and she goes, who's that? And I'm like, the guy that's about to win the Masters, that's Scottie Scheffler. He's the number one golfer in the world. He is ahead at the most difficult and prestigious golf tournament in America by 4 strokes, and he is killing the course right now. And she goes, oh, I don't know who it is. And I'm like, there's a problem. This guy is the world number one. He's 4 strokes ahead in the Masters, the most prestigious golf tournament in the world right now. And here's a young lady who is throwing a Masters party, who has invited people over to watch the Masters, and she doesn't know who the number one golfer in the world is by face. This isn't football where they're wearing helmets, right? These are the sport that you see their face the most. They had no idea who it was. There's your problem.
The Rob Brown Show. Get robbed at thefanupstate.com.